This seance was recorded on the 8th of December, 1973, medium Leslie Flint.
Hello,
Mickey. How are you?
Yes.
We can hear you, Mickey.
There's two Howards here right now.
That's right, Mickey.
There's a Mr. Howard, and, he's Howard, and now there's a Christian Howard.
That's right.
A Christian.
Well, it's his Christian name. The other man's name is Howard, but it's his surname, ain't it?
That's right, Mickey.
And Janet?
Hello, Mickey.
How are you, Jane?
Fine, I think.
And Shirley?
Hello, Mickey.
How are you, Temple?
Oh.
How are you, Temple?
I think she was named after Shirley Temple.
I was, actually. You're quite right.
I know you were. Your mum thought she was sweet.
That's right.
So she named you after her.
That's
really
true.
That bus driver bloke.
Oh, that bus driver bloke.
How are you, mate?
I'm fine, thank you, mate.
You're not windy, are you?
Things considered windy.
No, Mum.
Well, who else is here, Mickey?
Don't go away.
I ain't going away.
That's
how are you?
All right.
Marge, you're dying. Are you sorted out now, ain't you?
Well,
thank goodness.
Yes.
Yeah.
How is Daphne?
I'm all right, thank you, Mickey.
How's your knee, Daph?
My knee? That's all right.
Well, you had trouble with your leg, didn't you, Daphne?
Oh, yes. You made fun of it, didn't you?
Well, in a nice way.
Oh, yes.
And of course, Viviana's here.
Hello,
how are you, Viviana?
I'm fine now.
And that's your mate, ain't it?
Yeah, that's a mate of mine.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Are you windy? Not windy, are you, love?
Not a bit.
I haven't left no one out, have I?
Yes.
Well, not you, I don't mean. Well, you're here. Oh, I see what I can do.
I'm part of the furniture sitting room. What about Jim?
Oh, well.
What's this for, Mickey?
You're okay, sure, Jimmy Ellis.
Did I break the circle yesterday? I'm sorry if I did.
No, of course you didn't.
I didn't tell you.
What makes you think you broke the circle?
Well, I got up as you just spoke, and you stopped right then.
Don't worry me, mate.
Okay. As far as I know.
Very subdued, Mickey, this morning. Mm-hmm.
That new lady, Gerda, is that your name?
That's right.
Would you know a young fellow that would come to you who died rather tragically not so long ago, a few weeks or months ago?
Yes.
Do you know his wife?
I didn't even know him, actually.
Do what?
I didn't know him.
But do you know anything about his missus?
I don't know really anything about her.
Oh, gosh. Wait a minute.
Except I think she's American.
What difference does that make?
I don't know.
Sit still.
All
right. Papa fidget you are. You tell your beads.
No.
Well, what's all this about beads? Have you got some sort of necklace thing?
Yes.
That there's a special significancy about it.
Yes, I have.
And, well, I don't understand this. Someone's laughing and says she doesn't use the beads anymore.
Oh, well, these are sort of Zen Buddhist beads, but they're just hanging up in my room. I don't.
Well, it's very interesting to me. There's a bloke man here, and he says she's got some very special beads, and they're done. They're special beads, and you sort of play around with them and concentrate, or at least they help you to relax.
That's what they're supposed to
and
be.
And why
for,
don't you
yes.
do it then? Because it'd be a good thing. They want you to get these beads and make use of them, not just hang them up.
I see, yes.
Because there's a lot of power in those beads, and they will help you.
Oh, thank you.
Were they given specially to you by somebody?
No, I bought them.
Well, there's a great power with those beads, and they're from the person to whom they belong.
Oh.
Those beads, now I'm not going to say they're miracles, but the point is that those beads, if you were to handle those beads, especially when you're in need or in trouble, they would bring to you a great, not only a great peace, but they would bring to you things that are good for you. In other words, I'm not saying that they're like Aladdin's lamp, but the point is that if you had something very much on your mind that was necessary or you wanted, that if it was good for you to have it, that is, it would help you. There's something about the power of those beads of which you know nothing.
Oh.
You know, somebody connected with you committed suicide.
Yes. Not directly connected with me.
Well, not directly, but you are sort of connected up with this individual, and this person couldn't face life any longer, and it was all a great tragedy. It seems as if they got to the point where they just couldn't go on anymore.
Yes, I think probably that's right.
You're an extremely psychic person yourself. I don't know why you don't realise this more.
Well, I don't sort of have any needs in that direction. I think that's why.
No, you may not have any needs, but you might be a great benefit and blessing to other people. And you have a great, what you call, an intuitively sort of thing about yourself inside, right? And you do get things, very strong things, and you can help people by talking to people, and you're impressed what to say, often.
Well, I do quite a lot of that.
I know you do, but you don't call it psychic, but you are, mate. You're damn sight more psychic than some of them mediums go on the platform, mate. You've got it there, mate. And you've got a very great inner realisation. And it's as if you've got the third eye, as they term it. And those beads belong to someone over here who was a very powerful medium and a great understanding that person had of spiritual values.
Could you describe the beads to me a little better, do you think? Because there are several sort of in my house. I think it's some that I
Well, they're coloured.
They're coloured, are they?
But they're not all one colour.
Oh, they must be not quite the ones I thought of, because those are wooden ones. They're just all there.
These are painted.
Oh, I must kind of hunt for them.
Do what, love?
I must look for them.
Oh, no, you must know them. They're old, they're not new, and they're sort of painted. They're as if they'd been dipped in something.
Give them to one of my children or something. I can't really.
Oh, you want to get them back quickly?
All right.
It's a long lot. It's not short.
Well, this long one, these long ones that I thought you were describing are all wooden with a little blue tassel at the bottom.
Yeah, but are they coloured?
No, they're not. They're just sort of plain wood. They're pale wood colour.
Why not? seems very interested in you. The lady here may refer to her as Mary Ann.
Oh.
And her real name, two Christian names, were Mary Ann, and she was often known as Mary, and sometimes as Polly. Do you know much about
her? Well, I do know Polly, but I didn't think that she, I thought she was still around.
Oh, she's around all right, but she's around on this side.
I see. I thought she was still around on this
side. No, not the one we're on about, mate. The lady here, her name was Polly, or Mary Ann, but they often called her Polly, and she's a relation of yours.
Oh.
She was an elderly lady, grey hair. She was an aunt.
Oh.
Might be a great aunt to you.
I had a great aunt Matilda, but not an aunt great aunt Polly.
Oh, yes, you did. You had a great aunt Polly.
I didn't know about her.
Yes, Mary Ann, Mary Ann. And, yes, what did you say? You've been haunted, haven't you?
Well, kind of. Yes,
yes you have.
Yes.
This last week or two,
right.
You've been aware of someone's presence.
Yes.
And you've had some odd things happen.
Yes, that's really why I'm here.
And also, you've had some peculiar dreams. Whether you remember them is perhaps not possible to have. Would call them dreams, but astral travelling. Mm-hmm. I don't care, even if you don't understand it, you are an old soul, you are a medium, a natural medium, and you receive far more than a lot of so-called mediums get. You should really go in for this.
Mm, yeah. Well, in a way, I do.
Yeah, but you do it in a different way. I'm not saying you're wrong in this. I think probably for you it's right. But you are much more psychic and mediumistic than most mediums I know. And if you were to take an article belonging to someone, you would get all sorts of things and sensing, and you can delve back into the past, and you can let yourself drift into the past, and you can enter into people's lives.
In what way is that helpful to them?
Well, people who are in need or in trouble or who are desperately unhappy, I think that you would be impressed often to say what is the right thing to say. And often you'd be able to give them guidance.
Yes.
A lot of Chinese influence around you, tremendous.
Oh.
Have you got, I know it sounds nuts, but have you got some Chinese things in your house?
Yes, I have.
Of no great value, but things that have, I don't know how you got hold of them, but there's a very terrific Chinese influence around you. You must have had a lot to do with China in previous incarnations. Separating your place?
Not really, but I have another family kind of lives in my
Well, it's as if there's some other people there that have nothing to do with you in a sense. As if you split it up, the place.
Well, no, they're all family, actually.
Well, it's most peculiar. It's, I don't know. They've got things with you, extraordinary. I will not mind me. I told her all about that, but she doesn't really. I think she's well in the way.
Vicky, can I ask you something?
What?
The chap that you said was haunting me just recently, is he there with you?
Well, yes, he is, of course, but, see, there's such a lot around you and people, and the vibrations, and the condition. Do you know Graham?
Yes.
Well,
my son-in-law.
Dear, dear. I don't know, you know, it's a funny setup with you, quite frankly. I think you're a strong individualist, really. And yet, oh, I don't know how to put this, really.
Puzzle.
Chinese one too.
A Chinese one. Chinese. Oh, they're the toughest of all.
No, seriously, I find you fascinating. I think that you just don't realise what a remarkable psychic you are. And I think that it's a sad thing, really, that you can't go more deeply into this.
Well, I could, of course, couldn't I?
Well, you could, but I don't think you've got the, well, I say about the inclination so much, but the circumstances around you don't really permit you, at present anyway. Mm. And material affairs haven't been easy for you. They've been very complicated.
They have at times, yes.
And somehow you had to pull the blind down, didn't you, at one period? And you had to split and break away.
Yes, yes.
You see, this is your problem. You're a strange combination, you are. You're at war within yourself, really.
Well, I wouldn't have said that.
Oh, I do. Mm. You might not. You may say you're at peace with yourself, and at peace with the world. In a sense, that may well be true. But, you are a dual, and there's this tremendous spiritual awareness and consciousness, and this tremendous psychic force which is around you, which somehow you don't seem to want to, or don't seem to appreciate fully that you have, or that you can achieve so much with it or through it. And I think this is like I don't know, it's a complex thing. Three levels of consciousness, three levels. There's the psychical, there's the spiritual, and there's the material. And I suppose in a way they pretty well harmonize, but you should certainly do more of the psychic. I mean, it's all very well to link up with the spiritual, but the psychic is what holds the spiritual and the material in harmony. I think the psychic should be developed more in you.
How would you suggest that I would do that?
Well, I would like to see you sit once a week, preferably with several people of like mind, whom you know and are sincerely interested, and just sit and wait for the power of the spirit to manifest itself through the psychic forces. Mm. But of course, if you've got children, I suppose it's difficult, isn't it?
Well, it wouldn't be too easy. We do have a meeting once a week, but it's of a different nature.
Yeah, that's all right as far as it goes, but you're trying to work on one level. And quite frankly, I think that you've got to appreciate. A lot of people see a striving for the spiritual, which is a wonderful thing, but the psychic level is the lever. It's the leveling up. and the appreciation and the realization of the psychic self, opening up to spiritual levels of consciousness and awareness. People do, you see, you get these people, I'm not saying you, who are only interested in highly evolved spiritual things, but they don't realize that it is the psychic door that opens up to these things. And when you get them on the right perspective or level, then you become much more evolved and involved, and much more psychically and spiritually conscious. And everything's on balance. You know, this is where you get people who go nuts through religion. They get this sort of religious mania, I'm not talking about you, and they get this sort of a bee in their bonnet. And this is not good. They haven't tuned in, they haven't leveled up with a psychic. The psychic is what keeps you together in harmony, materially, psychically, and spiritually. This is what the great prophets and the teachers know all about. That's why they perform what the world terms miracles. They perform spiritual realizations on a psychic level through a material manifestation. Anyway, I can't remember.
Yeah, but I've only really ever been interested in the very simplest spiritual things. Nothing very deep or complicated, just very simple.
What level would you say you were on then?
I don't really find a level, and in fact I don't really find anyone.
Are you just doing meditation?
No, well, in a way, but this is, I don't find anyone here to be on a level.
Don't find what?
I don't find anyone here, any person here to be on any level at all. Just an emptiness which contains everything else.
I don't quite get that. I mean, let's face it, all people are on different levels of consciousness and awareness, according to their individual striving or seeking, or, you know, but I think, you see, one can be in a sense in tune with many people, but I don't quite know exactly what you're striving for.
I'm really not striving for anything, I'm just being. No, I don't find any goal to strive for, because it's already attained, it's right here.
And I don't quite get that either.
Well, there's nothing to achieve. I don't find it that anything that is necessary to achieve, because it's all given at this moment now.
Well, there must be a sense, surely, of raising oneself beyond the mundane and the material, and reaching out for enlightenment and spiritual consciousness and awareness, and becoming, as it were, to some extent beyond that which is normal or physical. You see,
I don't find that.
But, this is what I... You see, you are an extraordinarily interesting character because you have this great potential of psychic power, and the realization that should come from that and with that would raise you on a mental and spiritual level of achievement, whereby you would be able to assist and help many people. I don't mean just for mundane material things, but to raise themselves. You see, whether you like it or whether you don't, or whether you understand or whether you don't understand, you have been obviously been given an ability whereby you could uplift and make possible the path for many people who are seeking. You have to be a teacher, whether you have this ability to give forth, to give out. You see, everyone must be, in some sense, struggling. Everyone is, without perhaps realizing it. I think you are, without realizing it. I mean, it's true to say that within man is the great potential, but all around and about you, in the universe, is the knowledge and is the experience. is the realization and the fruits, as it were, of the efforts that are made by humanity to be taken and to be partaken of. I mean, it's all very well to say within you is the power of the Spirit, which we know is there, but also that power of the Spirit can only come into fruition or full flood when the effort is made. No one can achieve anything without making an effort. One must have this sense of striving and being and becoming. And then when you reach a certain standard or level, you realize there are other greater and more wonderful vistas to see and understand and to conquer. This is what it's all about. Life is all a simulation of new and wider vision and experience. I mean, it's all very well to say that it's all there. It is all there, but it's not only within you, it's without. The whole universe is full of it. People don't realize what's going on in the universe. They don't realize that everything there is to be tapped. Everything is there waiting to be seen, to be heard, to be experienced. It's not just nothing in the atmosphere. It's something, a tremendous something. All knowledge is secreted there. Everything is there. Everything can be found and discovered, if only you will make the effort. Everything is a sense of achievement. And I think this is human as well, inasmuch that if things are just there and you're aware of them without any effort, there's no satisfaction. You must make effort. Everyone must. It's like school. Everyone is studying. They don't perhaps always realize that they are, in a sense, studying, but the point is that it's there. It's all there to be brought out and to be discovered and to be experienced. And there's no beginning or no end to these things. It's all a great realization that comes according to the evolution of the individual. You've got it within you, but all around and about you are worlds of tremendous sort of, well, so vast that we can even begin to depict or describe them. I think that you should be seeking. I think you are without realizing it. I think it's all there, waiting to be discovered.
Yes. I'm attempting, I think, to help people in my own way by persuading them to look into their true nature, which is not identifying with this human form.
Yeah, I think you've got that idea right, but I think this business of, I think everybody has to some extent, identify themselves in some way. They don't quite know with what, or with whom, or how. Some people identify themselves with the Christ, others identify themselves with Buddha, others identify themselves with Confucius, and they assimilate certain things appertaining to those individual personalities or gods, or call them what you will, and that helps them, but it's only a part, it's not complete. I wish people understood better.
Well, surely that's a life if you're trying to understand.
You see, there's no such thing as one road. There are innumerable roads.
But there is this unity of all things, and I think this is really what's important here, isn't it?
There are basic
non-separation between.
There are basic unities, yes. I mean, I think all the truths, the fundamental truths, are all basic truths, but there are innumerable thousands and thousands of other roads and aspects and ways and means.
Sure, yes. You can't follow all of them.
No, I don't suggest that you should or even to think about that, but the point is that the fundamental truths underlying all religions is the same.
Yeah.
Whichever road you take, you'll come to a given point, and then when you get to that given point, then you'll start to learn. Then you'll start to expand. Then you'll start to grow. And then you'll start to shed yourself of a lot of the things that the various religions or organizations, or call them what you will, have taken upon themselves and obscured often the simple underlying truths. I mean, I think this is obvious. I think that all the religions of the world have obscured in many instances the valuable truth that was first declaimed or given out. And until you shake yourself free of all these things that man has created or put upon the original teaching, until you shed yourself of those, you don't really make much headway. I think man has got to discover from within himself in the first instance, yes, but he's also got to seek further afield. He's got to seek outside himself. He's got to seek into the realms of the mind and of the spirit and the psychic and realize that a perfect human being, if there is such a thing as a perfect human being, is a combination. It's not just what some people seem to think, an individual. There's no such thing really in a sense. That's a big illusion of the lot. I think that people assume that they are individuals, and in an odd kind of way, materially they are, but they're a product of untold experiences, of other people's experiences, other people's thoughts, other people's ideas. You've assimilated all sorts of things from all sorts of sources, and you often proclaim them as partly your own, and in some cases as your own. But there is nothing new. Everything is there, and everything in a sense has at some time or other been discovered and perhaps been lost. All around and about you is life, a stimulating force that will give you tremendous realizations if only you reach out for them. But when you're on earth, you've got to use the physical and the psychical and the spiritual in complete harmony. When you readjust, when you adjust yourselves, then you begin to perceive these things and you begin to progress towards true knowledge and experience. And gradually as you evolve, you will shed a lot of preconceived notions and ideas, and a lot of the things that you've been imbued with since childhood. I mean, people are, in a sense, unfortunate that they're brought up in a certain way. And often these things cling to them, and they're often stumbling blocks. If you happen to be born into a very religious family, then if you're not careful, you're chained down for the rest of your life with preconceived notions and ideas. It's not until you're free and unchained and unfettered that you can ever hope to make any real progress. The unfettered person is the person who will progress, not the fettered one.
But Mickey, if it's all a constant striving for something at some time in the future, isn't that in a sense letting the present go by rather unheeded? And the present is really all that we ever have at any moment, isn't it, now? We're constantly striving for some achievement in the future. This present seems to...
I don't think... No, seriously, no, of course you have to face the present. That's why we talk about the physical, the psychical, and the spiritual. The physical is, in a sense, the present. The physical is the expression, if you like, of many aspects of self. And, of course, the physical body is the vehicle of its expression, and has to face up to the problems and the vicissitudes and all the experiences of material affairs. But if the adjustment comes through the psychical, which is the vehicle of the expression of the spirit, and when the three are in harmony, then you have a sort of perfect whole. This is the real trinity. And the point is that, of course, you have to face up to problems. You have to live your material life. But also you can live it with a realization of the faculty of the psychic, which will help to level up and help you in the material and give you a wider realization and understanding of the possibility of what can be achieved by the spiritual manifesting itself in harmony with the psychical and the physical. But the present is a big illusion, the same as the past and the future. All time is as nothing. Time doesn't stand still. You are only breathing, in a sense, for the moment. But the point is that through you is the eternal spirit manifesting itself in some shape or form. And you are tying yourself to time by clocks and the sun and the moon and the stars and when the rain's due and all that sort of thing. But these are passing things. Every second your body is changing in some form of which you know little or nothing and probably wouldn't even be interested in. But the point is, the biggest illusion of all is this idea that you're in time. Actually, you're only caught in time, in a sense. It's the biggest illusion of all. Actually, you're not in time. Really, you're out of time. And you're out of step with time. And what is happening now is already registered. The past is with you, the future is there. You're stepping into it, although really it's already there. There's no demarcation line. There's no birth and there's no death. You know, I mean, you have to harness yourself in a sense, yes. You have to face up to business. You have to face up to getting up and catching the old bus. But in a sense, that's an illusion. It's a very real thing while you're experiencing it on the same level of consciousness of materialism. But behind all that you're doing and thinking are other facets. There's other things to be considered. There are other peoples, without even you're aware of the presence, who are impressing you. Often they're telling you things. Often you're registering things and you can't explain them. You're getting impressions, thoughts, ideas from all sorts of peoples, so-called dead peoples in some cases. But the point is that there are other planets, there are other spheres, there are other beings, highly evolved, far more evolved than the people on Earth who kid themselves that they're civilized. The point is you don't realize that all around you are untold numbers of living worlds, breathing worlds, experiencing worlds, and peoples far, far, far removed from anything you know about in your own way of life. And why you should kid yourselves that you're the only people, I can understand in a way, because that's how you've been brought up. At one time, the world was flat, according to the world. Now you know it's round. Now you're beginning to discover that there are thousands of worlds, and you'll begin to realize soon that there are highly evolved beings, much more highly evolved than human beings on your planet, who are trying to make contact with your world. In some respects, they're trying to make contact with your world to try and save your world from disaster. Man is creating his own environment, creating his own problems, creating his own disturbances, and it's nothing to do with religion. All this business of religion is the biggest fallacy of the lot.
If you have these other planets that are inhabited, have those persons at any time been on this planet?
You see, this is another thing. People always seem to assume that peoples who live on other planets or in other worlds, that they probably almost certainly must have lived on Earth. As if the Earth is the only breeding ground of... You know, this is so... Actually, your world in time itself, if you must have time, is only a baby. There are worlds that have been in being for untold billions upon billions and aeons of time. And some of these are highly evolved states of being where peoples, not quite as you are, have assimilated such experience far beyond your wildest dreams. And they are some of the people who, without revealing this to you probably, have tried to inspire and help your world. There are people walking about on your planet who are not of the Earth at all, who have come into your world to try to influence. You recognize them to all outward appearances as ordinary people, but they're not. Anyway, I can't go into depth on this at the moment, but, I mean, this isn't the kind of sad circle that you expected, but I can't help that.
It's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
You see, I know it's human nature. I mean, this is understandable. That everyone, whatever their particular religious belief or whatever their persuasion or their interest in a spiritual matter may be, because they're human, for them, and it probably is right, that is the right road or the right path. They have found it, or they've been led into it, and quite naturally, because it helps them, and it gives them a peace or a tranquility of spirit, it's good for them. I'd be the last to try to change them or take anything away from them. But it's not until you begin to realize, like I have, and other souls over here, the immensity of life, how stupid it is to narrow the confines of your mind to the limitations of any particular religious belief or persuasion. They are all little drops in the ocean of experience. And it's not until you've been here and you've experienced and witnessed many things and your eyes have been opened to the tremendous possibilities of life in all its varying degrees and forms that you begin to wish that people on earth could see more clearly how necessary and essential it is for them above all else to be unshackled and unchained, to be free to think and to contemplate, to open their hearts and their minds to wisdom and truth in its many aspects. It's like a diamond that's uncut. It's got many facets to it. It's got a tremendous brilliance. And if only you can realize that it is this realization that all life is one. It doesn't matter whether you are on this planet or that planet or this sphere or that sphere, whether you are born into your world under circumstances which are difficult or appalling, or whether you're born into a very rich family and inherit the earth, in a sense, as you might say. All the creatures of creation, no matter who they are, what they are, or what aspect of life they take, or what shape, or what form, it is the same animating spirit of all life that is giving you your aspect of self. You yourself are like a minute piece of, well, like a grain of sand in the deserts of time, and yet each grain is important to the rest. Each grain helps to form the desert, and even in the desert great things can grow. What I want to say and what I want to clarify if I can is that everyone is important. Everyone has aspects of the Godhead. Everyone has the power within themselves to assimilate even more of this power and of this spirit and of this realization and of this knowledge, and can become so much more evolved, so much more conscious, so much more aware. But you must never ever allow yourself to be narrowed down or fettered, or to think for one second that your particular brand of religion or belief is the beginning and the end. It can never be that. I mean, Christ came into the world to set an example, to show a path, to show a way, like all the great teachers and the prophets. And they realized the potential within man. They realized the power of the Spirit, which was the eternal force of all good, which is the life-giving force, which is eternal, which nothing can destroy or take away. Death cannot separate nor divide. And the whole point is that Christ knew these things. He expounded these things. He demonstrated these things, as indeed did many of the great prophets. But they realized that the world, the material world, is only the cradle. It's not the be-all and the end-all. You grow out of it. And if only people can see the immensity of all this, they wouldn't narrow themselves down or prejudice themselves. Their love would be an all-expanding love, embracing all peoples of all nationalities and even beyond worlds such as yours, and they see that every part in creation has its place and its purpose, that everything that lives is part of you. You destroy a spider, in a sense you're partly destroying yourself. People don't understand this. They look upon, for instance, a gnat or a flea or what, as something, well, that has no right to exist. I'm not saying that it is important in the same sense that a human being is, or shall we say a dog is, a pet dog, or anything like that. But everything that is brought into being has life. It has an animating some aspect of self. It's not the outer covering. You see, this is where man makes the mistake. He thinks of himself purely as physical. It's not the physical that's important. It's a shell, it's a covering, it's a house through which you express aspects of God, aspects of the power of the divine, aspects of your self as you know yourself or think you know yourself, or as you've grown to some extent by experience. But the point is that you cannot destroy anything. Man thinks he destroys and often desires to destroy. But when he destroys something, in some sense or shape or form, or in some way or other, he's destroying himself. Until you have the universal realization of these things, that all life is part of the divine plan, that you cannot escape from it any more than you can escape from yourself. When you do an injury to someone else, you are injuring yourself. You're often injuring yourself more than you're injuring the other person. People just can't comprehend these things. I mean, if only you can see with a vision of the Spirit, and if you could live in harmony in the Trinity of the Spirit and the psychic and the material, when you are blended in complete love and harmony, in adjustment, then you begin to perceive, then you begin to breathe and live and have a realization of what it's all about. People are seeking, striving, struggling, and they don't quite know which way to go. Some go this way, some go that. Some find something which helps them. But no one has a universal truth, of course, because the universal truth is too immense for one mind or in one period of time to be grasped. You can only have a minute little dust piece of it. But one day you'll understand more fully that there's so much to all this. All you can ever hope to do, of course, is to follow that which you have been given to the best of your ability, but all the time realize that it is only a minute part of the great whole. We come to you in love to serve you, to help you, to uplift you, to inspire you, to give you a meaning and a purpose. We come to comfort you, to help you, and we come to bring you the realization of things as we know them. We may not do all the things we want to do. We can never hope to do that. We can only open the door a little way. If you will help us to push it ajar, then we can give you a little more. But the whole point is that so many people who call themselves spiritualists, for instance, they haven't got the first idea what it's all about. To them, spiritualism is getting a message or getting some advice, usually material. That's nothing. That's just a fraction. You might even say it's the key, if you like, to open the door, but nobody ever turns it, or very few ever turn it. Seems to me that most people who say they're seeking are only seeking on a very material level. You must realize behind all that you're doing, all that you're seeking for, there is a greater significance and a greater power and a greater force and a greater realization waiting to be given you. But while you're content to talk to Aunt Fanny, while you're content just to talk on a material level about material things, or ask some relation you've known and loved who still loves you for material advice, then obviously you'll keep yourself, and to some extent that person, on that level. There's no reason why you shouldn't, of course, link up with all kinds of people on this side, but try to realize that are you only linking up on a material basis, or are you trying to link up on a mental and a spiritual one for their advancement as well as your own? because you can help them as they can help you. If only you can realize the oneness of the spirit and what that can achieve, what it can do. But it depends on you. You will only receive that which you are ready for and which you're probably capable of understanding. But if you widen your horizon, if you aspire to a higher length or higher vision, then nothing is impossible. But if you're content to stay put, then temporarily you'll stay put. If you're saying to yourself, well, I'm content with what I have, then to some extent you'll stay content. But that's not the be-all and the end-all. The realization that everything is there waiting to be reached out to be grasped, to be understood, to be experienced, then all the levels of consciousness of the spirit are there. Nothing is impossible to him or her who strives, and it's only by striving that man will achieve, and ever endeavoring to reach upwards to the heights. Don't be content with the depths. Don't be content to stand still. Don't be content to be stagnant, but aspire at all times for the things that truly are eternal, the things that are everlasting, the things that are God's, and the things that are yours by inheritance, because you are children of the living God, not some vague figure sitting on a throne, as some people have you think. God is the living reality of life, and it is this life-giving force that animates you and makes you a reality. You are God's while yet on earth in embryo. You are part of the divine plan. You are part of the divine force. You are part of the realization of all truth. Aspire for it, struggle for it, fight for it, and it'll come to you. And by so doing, you will change yourself, you'll change the world, and you'll bring peace and realization of truth into your world. But until man lifts himself out of the mire, and lifts himself out of the darkness, he will never find the light nor the truth. We do what we can, but we must leave it with you to struggle and to make possible the things that we give you. It's no good us talking, it's no good us expressing, unless you yourselves make the effort. It's no good just listening and then forgetting. You must listen and you must then put into action the things that are of the Spirit. And then you will spiritualize your world, and it will truly be a world in which the children of God may dwell in peace, in harmony, in love. Now I have to go, but my love and bless you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir.